For those listening to the Sacramento Valley Intergroup website, this was recorded during the Abstinence Through the Holidays event on October 30th, 2021. And we welcome Leslie from Connecticut.
I am Leslie and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm so glad to see everybody. I'm so glad to see faces I know and faces I don't know. What fun. And what a great way to start my day out, which is, you know, damn near half over because I'm on the East Coast. So thank you. All right. So first off, we talk about how it was. We could just start with miserable. That's good. I mean, that's a really great explanation of who I was up until 3 years ago. And I was happily miserable. So I'm like this in real life. This is my default mode. I'm a happy person. Whether I was 100 pounds more than I am today, I'm still happy. That is my approach to life. But I was sort of the most miserable, happy person that you probably could meet. My game was pretend, always pretend. When I was little, I think that I was afraid of a lot of things and I pretended that I wasn't. So I was a bit of a tomboy and I was bigger than a lot of kids. I think I had a lot of friends who were small. So I was a big person and I wasn't a chubby kid, but I was bigger and was very athletic. I played at least four sports during the year and dance class and all of those things. So I was constantly moving, but I was still bigger. And I was bigger because I was eating. I don't know if anybody knows about that, but I was eating on the side. So, and everything that we did, there was a food reward. Great job in school. Food reward. Great job on the field. Food reward. There was even a food reward for going on a diet when I was 10. So my mother and I went on a diet. She must have felt big and she must have thought I looked big. My mother and I went on a diet when I was 10. She would leave the house and I would sneak the food and blame it on my brothers, as it should be. And it was just a constant over and over and over again. We do this, we get a reward for food, and then we lie about it. And that just, it just kept going. It just kept going in my life. It didn't matter what happened. Of course, by the time I got to high school, that was awkward and it was a constant to lose weight, how to look better. Why don't I look like the rest of the kids? I'm sure some of this sounds familiar. I married my first husband and gained 70 pounds. That worked out good. He was quite abusive. And so that wasn't as fun as it sounds. And I divorced him and lost the weight. So there goes the 75 pounds plus, and met my next husband. And it didn't take long before I decided that eating about that was a great idea too. So it's been a constant theme in my life. Just in everything I did, there was a food reward. There was the battle with how to get rid of it. One of my favorite stories that I love is that I would then, as I got older, would get books on how to lose weight, like whether it was this diet or that diet. And the best part was what you do is you go get a bag of something to eat while you read the book and make plans as to when I was going to start that next diet. And it was just normal. It was just what I did. Of course, I'd stop at the grocery store and get a little something to read the book with. And it was always diving in head first. How can I do this? How can I get thin? How can I figure out what the best mode of transportation is? And how can I make sure that if I started on Monday, which somehow made sense in my head, I started on Monday, by Friday, I'd be down about 50 pounds. And the disappointment on Friday was out of this world. And so then what would happen is I'd have to eat about that for the weekend and then start over again. The cycle is crazy. And truly, until 3 years ago when I became abstinent, I didn't know that I was crazy. I did not know I was crazy. I just kept doing whatever I thought was going to fix it next. And it was crazy making. And now when I see what I did, it's truly nutty. So what happened to get me into OA is I had a friend call. I was in an airport and I had a friend call and she said to me, okay, listen, I work out with you every day and you don't change weight. What are you doing? And I had to I like to call them come to Jesus moments. I had to have a little come to Jesus moment. And that was, shit, I have to tell her. I have to actually say out loud to her, I eat all day long. So I get up in the morning, I eat my breakfast, I then go work out with you, and then I go home and eat. And then I lie about it and say I don't eat and have dinner. And then I eat after dinner. And I had to say that. And that was I could have thrown right up in the airport. It was so hard to hear out of my own mouth. And that night I got off the plane, got my kids all settled in, and I went to my first OA meeting. And some of you've heard a little bit of that part of my story. I walked in and this great woman who's still there, which is great, sitting across the table. And I thought to myself, oh, damn, am I going to have to remember her name? Because, you know, she's never going to see me again. This is like ridiculous. I don't do anything for more than a week. And, you know, it's Monday. And I'm going to come back next Monday. I don't think so. I sat down. And thank God I've never left since that moment. And I'm very lucky that she and I are both still in program. And I get to see her almost every day. And thank God she was there. Because, you know, here we are in Mystic, Connecticut. There's about four of us in a meeting. And guess what? If they're four on Tuesday, then they're same four on Wednesday. So, I just can't be any more thankful she showed up that night because I make four. There's usually only three. So that's a gift, an absolute gift. I started to go to the Saturday meeting, which is a big meeting around here. There's about 12 people at that meeting. And I went to the Saturday meeting and I went into program on Labor Day. And so by the time I got myself to the Saturday meeting, I couldn't stop myself. You know, the batshit crazy was still going on. The food was done. You know, I'd given up the food, but the batshit crazy was still on board. I was still just as crazy as can be, but I didn't have the food. And so I started talking about Thanksgiving and I just lost it. I just kept saying, I just don't even know what we're going to do about Thanksgiving. I mean, that would be my share. And that would be my share for weeks on end. I mean, like I'm like a crazy person. And I would say probably 4 weeks. You know, let's say that's probably a lie. I probably spoke for 6 weeks about it, but let's just say four. So I feel better today. So for 4 weeks, I shared about Thanksgiving and it was not a share. It was just a complete crap. I mean, I don't know why they put up with me, but they did. And so I would share and I'd say, I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. My mother drives me crazy. And I would go on and on and on. And then I'd go on. Without naming the food, I'd go on about the food and this, that, and the other thing. And finally, you know, it really does take a higher power. It has nothing to do with me. And I just have to keep remembering that over and over and over and over again. By the sixth week, my higher power jumped in And my higher power was like, you got to stop this. This is crazy. You are no longer crazy. You've got to stop. And I walked into that meeting all prepared to do the same record player thing I was doing over and over and over again. And I said, oh my God, you guys, I am so sorry. I've realized what I'm doing now. And they all kind of, you know, nodded, because we all nod in OA. Nobody makes a comment. They all nodded. And I said, do you realize what I've been doing? I don't actually participate in Thanksgiving. I don't eat anything that's on the table. I'm a vegetarian. I'm gluten-free. I'm dairy-free. I don't even eat that crap. And yet I was so worried about it. That is what crazy looks like. That's what crazy looks like. That's what my crazy looks like. I'm obsessed about walking into the holidays and I don't even participate. I bring my own food anyways. So that is that. That's like a big spotlight that I have seen that comes right on me about OA, is that that part has been so beautiful, because as time goes on and the more I work my program and the more I work the steps and the more I go to meetings and the more I get involved, you know, the crazy, I don't think is ever going to go away, but the cuckoo crazy that lives just off here, just keeps it at bay. The more I see how I can rely on my higher power instead of me, then I know that I can keep that little bit of crazy out here instead of just directly on me. Kurt, how am I doing on time? Because I do love to hear myself talk.
You have 13 minutes and I'll give you a 5-minute sign.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. So, you know, that's my walking into OA story. And what I'd sort of like to talk about now is what it looks like to walk into these holidays, because we are all well aware of what tomorrow is. It's the beginning of Crazyville. And what I used to do for tomorrow's holiday was, you know, any good mother would never let their children have that much sugar. I mean, what it looked like, especially I lived in Maine, and, you know, all of my mom friends either home birthed or didn't vaccinate their kids, or they were just the best mothers. Now, what I did was not allow my children to have sugar. Well, wasn't that sweet of me? And so the sugar fairy would come and we'd put all the stuff out at night, and then a big present would come for the children. And guess what I got to do for the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, eat all of their stuff for days on end. Just, it was all mine because I'd given them a present and wasn't that sweet. So that's what tomorrow starts to represent. Now, we don't obviously do any of that at my house anymore. The first year it was not easy. I said to my son, okay, here's the deal. Goes upstairs with you and I don't want to see any of it. And if you can't consume it and you're not going to consume it, you need to throw it out. Okay. And you need to throw it out. And, you know, I had all these rules: downstairs garbage can, take the garbage out, you know, the whole thing. And you know, the nicest part is now, because I work this program as hard as I can, I don't have a thing about it. I have a, Jesus, did we get all the costume pieces? You know, I couldn't participate before. I could not participate in Halloween before because it was too much. I didn't fit into the costumes. I didn't know. I couldn't get all the pieces together. It was too much trouble. It was this, it was that. Yeah, I don't have any of those things. We're all set and ready to go. That's how it goes. And same rules. Don't want it, throw it out, don't care. And also, what meeting am I going to tomorrow? Oh, I know that. I'm going to one in the morning. And if I need to, I'll go to one before we go out. That's just how it goes. Because I got a plan. I got an action plan. And that's how I start the crazy holiday season of what I just call like constant eating. You know, I've told you my story about Thanksgiving, which is crazy. And then we stepped into Christmas. And what happened with Christmas is all my eating buddies are there. You know, I'm fun. I'm loud. I'm They're drinkers. I'm not. And so it's so fun to be with me. It's a little awkward now. It's still fun to be with me, but my eating buddies don't really love it that I don't eat as much. But I got a plan. You know, when I go, I know when the meals are, I know who's hosting them. I know what family member to call and ask those questions of. So what are you thinking of having? I mean, it would be the same thing. I need to know anyways, because of the way I eat, but I got a plan. I think an action plan is a magical tool. And I've got an action plan for just about everything, including walking into the grocery store. So I take that and I apply it to the holiday. You know, what's my plan? Are we going to Aunt Trisha's? And we get to Aunt Trisha's, what are we going to have? Like, let's call ahead. Let's find out. It's not crazy. That's a sane behavior. Like, that's taking care of myself in the best way I can so I can be with people. I mean, before, I couldn't be with people. People thought they were being with me because I'm giving in a conversation, but I was just like, get the hell out of my way. I got to get over to that buffet table. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I mean, they're thinking they're having this moment with me. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a moment with you. This is not what we're doing. I'm getting over there. So I actually get to be with people now. So when we travel for Thanksgiving or when we travel for Christmas, I'm thinking, who's going to be there instead of what are they having? And what a relief that is. Like, that whole crazy part about trying to plan about what I could eat, how I could eat, how would it look like I'm not eating? I mean, my favorite response when people are just like, well, I don't know how you've got diabetes. And I'm like, I don't know either. All I do is eat salad. I mean, that's a little crazy, folks. Just saying, that's a little cuckoo crazy. But now when I say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have diabetes anymore, I know exactly how that happened. I do know how that happened. Now, the other side, I don't. But this side, I do know. It's because I come to these meetings. It's because I work my program. It's because I work the steps and I start with, I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And I have to keep reminding myself that over and over and over and over and over again. And the times that I thought that my life was manageable and that I did have power over my food, that was scary. Those were scary moments. And they lasted a couple months. That was scary. And thank God I have all of you to this constant tapping on my shoulder. Hey, hey, this is not working. This is not working for you. Hey, where are you? We haven't seen you at meetings. Hey, what's going on? Hey, that's what saved me. And so part of my service is constantly doing that for others because that really saved me. So I do like to hear myself talk, but I feel like my time is almost up. But I just think one of the biggest things for me is you've got to have a plan. And as soon as you tell you that you don't need a plan, that's when you need to start running to your journal and grab your pen and make a plan, because you will always come up with something. I always come up with the best ideas. Oh, please God. And my best ideas have gotten me in a lot of trouble. And so I think that for me, making an action plan for just about everything is the key to getting me from October 31st to January 1st. Because that keeps me safe and sane and a continual asking my higher power, okay, what's next? What's next? What's needed? What's wanted? How can I be a contribution to what's going on here? And I need you to show me the way. I need you to show me what I need to do next, because I don't want to take any bite of anything that is poison for me. I don't. I wouldn't be looking at one of my friends who's a recovering alcoholic and saying, you can just have the blah, blah, blah. No, I wouldn't. So I'm not going to look at me and say, it's the holidays. No, it's just another day. It's just another day in the life of me. Thanks, Kurt. And I get to work this beautiful program because I get to continue the being sane, being in my body, being a contribution. And it's the greatest gift that I've ever been given, because I'm no longer systematically killing myself. And I get to be here for my kids, and I get to be here with all of you. And I actually get to give back to my body, who I abused for so many years. And I get to say, hey, it's okay. I got you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to exercise you. And you can count on me. You can count on me to take care of you. And we're going to do this through the holidays, which is it's a big thing. And we can stay abstinent through the whole thing, but here's what we need to do. And so, yep, I'm done listening to me talk. Thank you everyone for inviting me and, letting me share what I think is my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you very much.